Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and one of my favorite people in the world. Let me start by asking you, as a great pollster, whether or not in the coming year you expect to see Barack Obama's numbers going up.
Yeah, I do. I do expect to see the numbers go up, and it's not a huge risk to make that statement. We've already seen a little bit of an uptick at the end of 2014. If you look at the Gallup tracking poll, his numbers have crept up a bit so that in the most recent data, he is even, 48% approval, 48% disapproval, and that's the first time he hasn't been underwater. In other words, his disapproval higher than his approval since 2013. So we're seeing a bit of an incremental improvement in his standing at this point.
Tim Versalotti, to what do you attribute that?
I'll rely on Gallup's analysis here, and part of it is increasing favorability among Hispanics, and Gallup attributes that in particular to the president's executive action on immigration reform. And so he's improved his standing there, and that's helped to push up his numbers a bit. Now, Gallup also cautioned, and this was Frank Newport, the editor-in-chief of Gallup, that there was might have been some end-of-year holiday goodwill that could easily evaporate once the new Congress comes in. But at this point, at any rate, we are seeing the president's numbers improve somewhat.
Well, you know, Tim, I've seen something from this president that I hadn't seen for a while, and that is he's got some real gumption going. Now, the Gallup poll, if they say he's doing better, I sort of believe that because I've always thought if Gallup erred on anything, it was sort of a move to the right among pollsters. So if they're saying it, it probably is so. But I think people are responding to a leadership move here. The guy is saying, this is what we have to do. I'm going to take definitive action. And I don't care what, quote, they say.
Yes, the president has been acting with a great deal more daring since the midterm election. And not surprisingly, I think he's decided this is it in terms of his legacy. He's got two more years. He doesn't face another election either as a candidate or as party leader. And so it's now or never in terms of hitting items on his agenda that have stalled in the Congress. And so you see an Obama who is somewhat more bold, somewhat more daring than he was in the first 6 years of his presidency.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about Massachusetts, where you live and work. Let's talk about Deval Patrick. You know, I have said many times, I think he's one of the best politicians I've ever met in my life. Some people don't like that. I don't care what they like. But I'm wondering how you feel about this.
Now is the time to take a look at the Patrick legacy after his two terms in office. And he's leaving the state in pretty good economic shape in terms of the unemployment rate, which has either been lower or on par with the national rate. Massachusetts recovered from the economic collapse a lot more rapidly than some other states. And he made some important inroads in terms of job growth, in particular in the life sciences and in the pharmaceutical industry. He also made some improvements in the way transportation is administered and planned in the state. And so, the public schools in Massachusetts continue to achieve leading the nation in standardized test scores or being near the top in those areas. And so in that regard, he leaves the state in pretty good shape. Now, there are some downsides. The state budget is running a mid-year deficit, and the estimates are varying. The minimum estimate is about $300 million. And the issue is there is a planned reduction in the state income tax rate that kicks in at the start of 2015, but also fees and revenue are lower than expected. And so in that regard, leaving somewhat of a negative note in terms of the end of his term. And we're going to have to see the incoming administration make some budget cuts pretty quickly in order to balance the budget in this year.
You know, I love to look at the news media. I know as a political scientist, you do too. I heard a wrap-up on Deval Patrick, and, you know, they always have to find something bad. And one of the things they mentioned were his need to change his office around and buy some new drapes in the office. It seems to me that that's just silliness in terms of the major political impact of a politician, don't you think?
It's easy shots. Yeah, I think so. And that is something that happened very, very early in his term. And his counterargument and the counterargument of his administration was that this was a space that had gone into disrepair and that this wasn't anything lavish or extravagant. But it overlooks the important policy achievements of his administration and really trivializes his time in office. It's easy, though. It's easy to write about, and it's easy to inflame people with those kinds of stories. And so I suppose that's why they're popular.
Well, one of the things I've been trying to push unremittingly is the idea that he would be an ideal vice presidential candidate. Because after all, he is a man of color. He's brilliant. He's been an attorney general, a deputy attorney general. He's had all of these major jobs. He says he doesn't want to run for vice president. I say people always say that until they're asked, because it would be stupid to say it before you're asked. What do you make of that?
Oh, I agree with your reasoning there that no one runs for the vice presidency. But if your party's nominee comes to you and says, for the good of the party, the good of the country, please join the ticket, it's very difficult for most people to say no. And in the case of Deval Patrick, he has positioned himself by doing a great deal of campaigning for President Obama in the 2012 cycle, and then traveling around the country since then and starting a political action committee. So I think it's pretty clear that Deval Patrick is not finished with politics. Whether he joins the 2016 ticket or not, I think a lot depends on who's at the top of the ticket and can he bring something to the ticket. One thing that it would be interesting to watch is if Deval Patrick joined the 2016 presidential ticket, would we see Governor Charlie Baker speaking at a Republican convention in 2016 saying, let me tell you about the achievements of the Patrick administration, much like Deval Patrick did in 2012 at the Democratic convention when former Governor Romney was at the head of the Republican ticket. So you have to be careful. These Massachusetts governors, when they get involved in national politics, their successors can pop up and say, well, let me give you the other side of the story. It'd be great to watch, but boy, there'd be some interesting theater if Deval Patrick was on the ticket in 2016.
But of course, Charlie Baker is in a blue state and one of those aberrations in which Republicans get elected on a fairly regular basis. And maybe when we come back the next time, we can talk a little bit more about the phenomena of Charlie Baker, previously unknown name for many people and still unknown for many people outside the Commonwealth. And you can give us some insights into what we can expect there. So I love talking to you, Tim Versalotti. You're so smart.
Thank you.